Sure. That was good worship. Thanks, worship team. That was good, eh, guys? Amazing when we find His presence and His spirit. Not just sing three songs and then carry on, but we find them. It's amazing. And it's it is amazing how God just works. I mean, other than the elders, no one else knew what I was going to preach on this morning. And then in a prayer meeting, people just start sharing words and praying prayers that lines up so well with what I want to preach on, which is amazing. And the word that I want to bring this morning is about family. How we are called to be a family of believers. And I feel this is a word in season, just because we're going into December, and because we're tired. It's a good time to preach this word when people are tired and to encourage people. So last week, Bella, I did ask her permission. Where's Bella? She's here somewhere. She had a WhatsApp status, and unfortunately, for some reason, the picture, I don't know, something happened with it when you put it on, yeah. But she took a picture of people praying for Colin at his birthday party. By the way, Colin is preaching in Feldrift this morning again, which is super exciting. And her kind of caption was, "Church family is totally unmatched." That was kind of a wording with the WhatsApp status. So I asked her if I can use it, because I was going to preach on church family. And for me, it was so beautiful, because God calls this body of believers to be a family. And He calls us to be unmatched. In other words, there's nothing like it. You won't find us anywhere else. He calls us to love one another, to care for one another, to encourage one another, to keep one another accountable, and to encourage one another, ultimately, to keep following Jesus, keeping in step with Him, and to love each other deeply as you would love your own family. And for some people, it's easier to love church family because you don't necessarily have family, or you come out of a broken family. For other people, if you have a healthy biological family, this can be harder. But the point is, we are called to love each other deeply as you would love your own, because we are our own, right? We belong to one another. In John 13, verse 34 to 35, Jesus speaks and He says, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And we often read the scripture, right? But it's so profound, actually. If you think about it, it is so profound. Because as we love one another the same way that Jesus loves us, it shows something to the world. That is why it is profound. People look at us and go, "That's different." Because it's not normal, right? It's not normal to love each other like we would love our own family. And because it's not normal, because we don't see this in the world, it is unmatched. You don't get anything other like it. Because where else in society would you get people who love each other like you love yourselves, or like you love your own family? Where else would that happen? Because people in the world, they like people who like what they like, and they love people who love what they love, right? And we call to a higher standard. And that's why you'll find communities in other places. You'll find communities at sports clubs, or that was the only example I had, but in other places. Gyms, oh, that's another kind of exercise example. I don't know. Pottery, maybe, I don't know. Art. Yeah, I'm doing well. because people get drawn to something that they love or like, and they meet other like-minded people there, and it becomes their community. But us, we are called to love one another irrespective of our likes and our dislikes. Because in this family, if we're honest, there'll be people who you connect with better than with other people. Am I right? Or is it just me? Some people here, you'll have a natural inclination towards, because you might like the same things or you might talk about the same things. Other people will be completely different than you. But we call to love one another. The only thing that connects us really in this body is what? Jesus. He's a cornerstone. He's a foundation. There's people here that won't have the same hobbies as us, won't have the same interests as us, will do things completely different than us. And there's just no natural liking towards each other, but we call to love one another like family. Because family, to love each other like family, supersedes dislikes, likes, hobbies, interests, all that stuff. And I think if we can remember that we call to love one another because Jesus loves us and Jesus connects us, I think that is when church family becomes unmatched, because it is, you can't find anywhere else. It's not like any other thing. Steve, I was wondering where you are. And as I've been reading this John scripture in verse 34, Jesus says, "I give you a new commandment," which was interesting, because this isn't actually a new commandment. God gave the Israelites the commandment to love one another as you love yourself. In Leviticus 19, God calls his people to be holy. That's a context. He gives them these rules or these commandments. And the point is to be holy. And one of the things he tells them is in Leviticus 19, 18, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So people, if you've been God's people, you know, and the people that Jesus were talking to, they would have known this scripture. They would have learned about this when they were very young. But then Jesus say, "I give you a new commandment," which is interesting because it isn't a new commandment. They would have memorized this verse. And I think why Jesus says it's a new commandment, because now in the new covenant, we are not called to love one another like we love ourselves. We are called to love one another like he loved us. It's a higher standard. We're not called to love one another like we love ourselves, because I can be very selfish, and then I can love you out of that. But we're called to love one another like Jesus loved us. That's why he says, if you just can go back to that. Thanks, Mara. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And how did Jesus love us? Sacrificially. He loved us sacrificially. He laid down his life for us because he loved us. And he calls us to love one another like that. So what does it look like to lay our lives down for each other because we love one another like Jesus loved us? It includes our time. It includes things we enjoy. It includes our hobbies. It includes our interests. It includes our comfort, our convenience. All that stuff we bring to Jesus. And we say, Jesus, I want to seek your kingdom. You've called me to a higher standard. You've called me to love people more than I love these things. Even if I don't have necessarily any interest, similar interest. I think the culture of the world screams at us that it's all about you. I was driving past Century City the other day, and they have like this advert, and it literally, I can't remember the exact wording now, but it basically says, come shop with us because it's about you. Like the world screams at us, it's about you. And God calls us to say, no, it's not about us. It's about others, first and foremost. It's about others. And this is for the sake of our church family. And I think when we walk in this, that is when church family becomes unmatched, because it's supernatural. You know, you have, I don't know how many people, 100 people who's saying, I'm not going to live for myself. I'm not going to live for my own time, for my own hobbies, for my own interests, but I'm going to lay that down so that I can love others. So that I can love others like I love my own family. And that is so countercultural. It's so abnormal. It goes against everything inside us, right? If we're honest. I mean, some people are more holier than others. Yeah, Jeff especially. And some people, as I like to call it, have good flesh. They just, somehow, they just always, seems like they always make the right decisions. But for most of us, it will be hard. It's abnormal. It goes against everything inside us. And it's so hard in the culture that we live in because no one else does it. But no one else is called to do it. I was speaking to a pastor the other day. He leads a church in the city. And we were talking about just the challenges that we face living in Cape Town. And he said a very interesting, he said that one of the challenges we face is that people can really live their best lives in Cape Town. You know, you have the mountain, you have the sea, you have everything in between. And in some places where you stay, like people work very hard and then they go on holiday for 2 weeks and then they come back and they just work. But in Cape Town, we really get to do things that we like every single day. Like there's literally everything. You can run, you can surf, spike ball. You can do anything. There's so many things that we can do, so many interesting things that we can do. And that, I don't want to say, because for me that's exciting that we live in this culture, because if we get this right, it really does send out a strong message. But we do get to live our best lives, and that's one of the challenges we have. I was speaking to someone else, and he was saying, you know, he stays in a suburb close by, and he literally has everything that he needs in his suburb. There's a doctor, there's shops, there's a pharmacy, there's everything. He can go for walks in the greenbelt. He literally doesn't have to go out of his suburb. So then we come and we say, well, actually, it's not about your suburb. It's not about having everything close by. It's about other people. Because Jesus calls us to love one another like he loved us, and that is sacrificially. He calls us to overcome our cultural challenges, to overcome who we like and who we dislike in this family. Sorry for the other Josh Jenners, but I mean, you are family, but and really to love one another, because when we do this, it really is profound. It is a profound picture to the world. And when we do that, that is when church family is unmatched. In Psalm 68, verse 4 to 6, it says, sing to God, sing praise to his name. Exalt him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before him. And God is a God of family, a father to the fatherless, the defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. And I just love this verse because God is family-orientated. You know, in a new covenant, he calls us sons and daughters. Right? The new covenant, if we belong to Jesus, is a family covenant. He's a father to the fatherless. He's a defender of widows. And I love verse 6. He sets the lonely in families. And what families is he speaking about here? Not biological family. It's this, right? It's members belonging to one another. And I just love the next part in that verse because I do think it's actually connected to the start of verse 6. That's verse 6. It says, God sets the lonely in families, and I love this next part. He leads forth the prisoners with singing. And that can be quite, it can look like it's quite disconnected in a sense. You know, he sets the lonely in families, and then he speaks about he leads forth the prisoners with singing. So in other words, people that were prisoners. And I think there are some prison walls that's around us that God will only break in family. Like, I think that's why, that's one verse. God sets the lonely in families, and as he does that, as you become part of a family, as you give yourself to this family, he leads you forth in singing, and he brings prisoners out of their prisons. There's things that God will only break in family, because he's a family-orientated God. The new covenant is a family covenant. It's made to get freedom as a body, as a family, as sons and as daughters. So God will bring healing and restoration to us as we give ourselves to each other in this family. A lot of time, God will break through our ceilings of hurt, of insecurities, of brokenness, as we spend time together as a family. And we must have prayer times with people. Like we prayed for someone this week. I was just feeling trapped, and we prayed for him, and God did amazing stuff, and we must continue to do that. But a lot of time, God will take care of those things as we do life together, because it's His way, it's His plan. And I think when we do that, that is why church family is unmatched. I need some encouragement, everyone. Just every now and again, please. Sometimes, some of the feedback I've received since I came on full-time is that sometimes you're a bit principally. So I don't want to be principally, I want to be... we see in the Bible how the early Christians were devoted to fellowship, and we often quote the scripture, Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, breaking of bread and to prayer, to fellowship. Now, the culture back in those times was obviously completely different than it was today. The reality is people lived very close together in those times. You know, some towns or cities will be equivalent from here to Claremont. So you'll be in a different place, in a different city, if you stayed in Claremont compared to here. I mean, I was reading this week how Jesus resurrected Lazarus, and it said he had to travel 2 miles, which is, what's 2 miles? But it was in a different place. So in this context, when we read the scripture, it was their way of life. They stayed close to each other. They stayed on top of each other. You didn't travel far in order to be in a synagogue or in a community. It was all around them. If you had a baby, you naturally had friends and family and neighbors around you just to help. It was really their way of life. And I often think today, just when it comes to having a baby, how sad is it today that you have moms and dads, but moms, who have a baby and then they're alone the whole day in an apartment or a house? That's sad. It's not supposed to be like that. In those times when someone had a baby, there were people around them in the house, out the house, helping all the time. Kids were playing in the street. Anyway, so moms, you're not supposed to do this alone. Just that's a side note. It's not supposed to be like that. So we do have the challenge of staying further apart, having to travel. There's a lot of traffic. Not all of us stay on top of each other. But I don't think we can use it as an excuse. The word of God is true today, like it was 2,000 years ago. He still calls us to the same things today, even though there are challenges. It might look different, but we can't use it as an excuse. And I'm saying that with a lot of encouragement, because it is difficult sometimes. So let's continue to strive towards living in family with each other, with opening our homes, with doing life together. Let's continue to give our time and our effort for each other. And I even think, to be honest, I think even more where we live, I think even here, if we do this, it will be such a bright light in the Sound suburbs. It really does send a message to the world. And like I said at the start, I wanted to share this message because the December holidays are coming up. And the culture of the world tells us, you deserve a holiday. You've worked this whole year very hard. You've put in a lot of hours. Forget about other people. You deserve the holiday. You need rest. You must do what you want to do. It's about you. This is a time where you can switch off and just enjoy yourself, and you don't have to worry about anyone else. And it's essentially what the world tells us, feed your flesh and do whatever you want to do, because it's about you. Now, I need to just balance myself out, because I'm a big believer in rest. I do believe we have to switch off. I do believe that we have to catch our breath. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think our heart posture must still be one of loving one another and of giving ourselves to one another and still being family and not saying, see you in Jan. Because that's what the world does, right? So we must rest. And we must catch our breath. It was a hard year for some of us. Some of us work very hard, long hours. But I want to just ask, as we do this, just to encourage us to still include this family in our holidays, as we do fun things. December is such a good opportunity to just break three of the boxes that we're always in and just do other stuff. And the question that I want to ask is, do we believe that Jesus still wants to use his kingdom? Sorry, I messed that up. Do we believe that Jesus still wants his kingdom to come in us and to come through us, even during the same holidays. And I think that's the starting point. If we say yes to that, then God will make it happen, because this is his idea. So do we believe that Jesus still wants his kingdom to come in and through us, even during the holiday time? You know, Jesus doesn't take a holiday, luckily for us. Just imagine Jesus tells us, see you in Jan. Hectic. Eh? Yeah. Panic stations. There's not going to be a church then when you come back in Jan. And he calls us to do the same. And I mean, practical examples, if you're planning to go to the beach, just say, hey, I'm going to the beach on Saturday. Whoever's keen, come and join. I mean, some of us did a train ride last week, Saturday or something. Amazing. Went to the beach for the morning. Those that can, went. If you want to have a braai, invite people to have a braai. If you're going to go for a walk, invite people to... John's looking at me. If you're going to go for a walk in the orphan, invite people with. It's really just include people. Have time to rest. Have time to catch your breath. But if you do things, just include people. Yeah, let's really not forget what God has called us to be during the holidays. There are a lot of single people here, people that don't have family around. For them, the December month can be very lonely. Have them around. And single people, not necessarily single people, lonely people, if you don't have family around. Not lonely, you know what I mean? Not like lonely, like, I meant if you don't have family around. I need to stop. Be proactive. Don't go, oh, no one's inviting me, or no one's inviting me to things. Be proactive. We're family, so we can be proactive. We can be bold. Say, hey, can I come to your house for supper tomorrow night, or whatever it is. December should not be a time where people are lonely if they don't have their own family around. Invite people into your space as we do life together. Can we stand? Yeah, I just want to, yeah, can we just take a moment just to close our eyes? Just want to pray for us. Yeah, and we always want to do this. We want to give opportunity for people to respond. So, yeah, just everyone's eyes closed. Yeah, just want to say, as I've been talking about family, and you know, we had an amazing worship time as well, and we felt God's presence. And there might be people here who does not belong to his family. You're not a son and a daughter of him. Because in order for you to be a son and daughter, you need to accept Jesus. And you might have come in here this morning, and the Holy Spirit might have drawn your heart, and you might need family, and you might be here, and you see what we have, and you actually want that. Because the Bible, as I've read, the Bible says he puts the lonely, and that's not only physical loneliness, that's spiritual loneliness as well. Like, he connects us into a family. So we really want to give an opportunity with everyone's eyes closed. If there's anyone here, you've never accepted Jesus, but this morning, just as I've been preaching and doing worship, you want to accept him today. He died for your sins. And all we need to do is just acknowledge that and put our faith in him. And then he automatically puts us into his family. If there's anyone here like that, can I just ask you just to raise your hand before we move on? It's just a good opportunity for anyone to respond. Is there anyone here? You've never accepted Jesus, and as you've been talking, you want to. Can you just raise your hand? Okay. So then, for the rest of us, just with our eyes closed, can we just in our hearts just commit, actually before God and actually before each other, that we want to allow Jesus to break us through our own comfort and convenience, and that we'll give ourselves to each other. Really so that we can say church family is totally unmatched. That is what I want to leave with you. Like, God calls this church family to be unmatched. We don't see anything like church family in the world. So just take 10 seconds, just bring your heart before God, and let's just commit before him to do this as we do life in December, as we catch our breath, just in include people. Yeah, Father God, just want to pray, or actually just first say thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are the head of our home, that you call us into family. Thank you that you call us to be to be a light in this world, that as we love each other, as we give ourselves to one another, as we make it about others and not about us, it is totally unmatched. And it sends such a strong signal to the world, God. This is how the world will know that we are your disciples, by how we love one another. And I really pray, Holy Spirit, won't you come do that in us? I pray that as we go into this month of December, that we won't get caught in the world culture, but that we'll actually still continue to give ourselves, still continue to meet together, to invite people into our space. And that as we do that, we will allow you to just to bring rest. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go, just quickly, we have two baptisms now after church. Yes. Super exciting. I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm so sorry. You don't have to say anything, but Carl's getting baptized. Just raise your hand. That's amazing. God started doing something in his heart at the men's camp, which is amazing. And he's going to get baptized now after church. So those that want to go can go. It's going to be down at the pool. Ant is going to lead that. And then as Anthony and Leandro, they were just talking, I mean, because he's in their comp, so they were talking about it. And then their little girl, Lily, said last night, I also want to get baptized. So she's also going to get baptized. And they explained to her what it means. They went through it properly with her. They were saying, no pressure. They thought, you know, this morning she might wake up and go, actually not. But this morning she was even more keen to get baptized. So those two are going to get baptized. If you want to hang around, please hang around. You can go and support, pray for them. And then other than that, I'm sure there's coffee at the back. Have a lovely day. If there's anyone else that wants to get baptized today, come speak to me. There's opportunity.